All right, I want to share now, and I'll end the year with this on teaching here about the biggest tool that the Spirit of God has in order to transform our lives, and also that through us to be able to build, whether we are contributing as part of the team or whether we're in a position of CEO, which means that, all right, originated the idea. Now, the most important tool available to the Holy Spirit to change and transform a life is the mind of the man. So the most important tool the Holy Spirit has is the mind of the man. And how the Spirit employs the mind in creating sound ideas and then building a strategy on implementing them. So we want to look at this, right? And this particular tool, because the church hasn't spoken about it, for some reason we have, all right, left it, and I believe two things will be responsible for this. First of all, Satan, knowing that this is the real tool for transformation, without an understanding of it and the practice of the same, what is going to happen is that, you know, people are going to hear a lot of things about God, about their potential, but they won't be able to, they won't understand, all right, how to manifest these things within their lives and produce, all right, results that we can see within Scripture. And so when we talk to, if you talk to the majority of body of Christ, what they know, the vast, all right, amount of knowledge is not reflected within their lives. That is, if you compare what is going on with what has been deposited, then you know that there is a big gap. And the reason is the tool that the Spirit uses to change and transform the life is the mind of the man. And so Satan quickly went there and built a Christian Science doctrine that, you know, places the mind there, and no one wants to appear like they're teaching Christian Science. So they quickly veered off the mind, and we started talking about the word entering into our spirits, and we started talking about the Spirit and all of that and building capacity of spirit. But you know, some of these things that we say, you know, go over the heads of people because it doesn't connect, all right, and can't be translated to their everyday life. They don't understand how it will work within their everyday life. Now, the mind is the tool of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us, don't be conformed to this world. Now, we can say don't be conformed to the world and preach against sin and worldliness, but if people don't understand this, then they'll be left frustrated with a sense of condemnation and guilt. So it says, but be transformed. So don't let this world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed, take the limitations off by what is called the renewing of your mind. And so the word transformation means metamorphosis. In other words, in appearance, you are changed. Things on the outside change by the renewing of your mind. Metamorphosis is when, all right, an insect goes from the caterpillar time and goes right up, and then it becomes, right, the butterfly there, which means it moves from the caterpillar infancy and then becomes a butterfly. So it tells us that you might see one Christian mounting up with wings as eagles, running, they are not weary, walking, they don't faint, all right, doing powerful things. And then you see another one operating as a caterpillar there, and you say, what is the difference between them? It says it is the state of their mind. One has allowed the thoughts of God to shape, all right, their minds to such a way that it now reflects within. So they have thoughts on the inside that are working within them that has created that outward expression. that for one man is talking about his potential and hidden capacity. In the other man, what you see is a complete change, even in the appearance of the man, because the butterfly appearance is totally different in physical appearance there. And also in the capability, all right, and efficiency of that particular person. So one now is capable of doing massive things, all right, the other one is still crawling, and you say they're both children of God, but the distinction is not found in their bodies, it's not found in their spirit. They are both recreated spirits there. The life of God is there, but it's found in the minds of the people. That's why Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're spiritual, but the battleground is the mind. Satan, knowing that, goes there and says the blindfold remains over their mind. And with that, over their mind, it says they will not be able to translate the things that they have heard of into their own lives. So Satan, knowing that, all right, his only grip over the church, when the Bible says the last enemy of Christ is death, I believe to an extent it's talking about the carnal mind also, which is death. That is that carnal mind, that unrenewed mind, that causes, all right, the Christian to be squeezed and the limitations are there and we don't see, all right, things on the outside. So what we do is that because we don't know about it, we pray in tongues, we spend time fasting, we hope that something will happen, and we don't know things happen as the mind is being renewed. So it is through the mind that we can overcome limitations, all right, and every obstacle. In other words, when you are facing a limitation, God, the Holy Ghost, starts suggesting right to your mind if you open up to Him. These are the things that you need, the thoughts begin to come. And you can overcome anything. You can surmount any obstacle once we understand that the process is that the Holy Ghost will supply thoughts to your mind. That is not about me praying and then there's just external power that comes, all right, to change things. But that the Holy Spirit begins to work right through the mind of that particular person. So it's through that we can overcome limitations, all right, in our environment and every obstacle, right, around us. In other words, there are thoughts I can get from God. So you have a problem, let's assume, in the business, and God says, I will supply the thoughts that you need to implement to change this particular thing. You have a problem right there inside the marriage, says there's an understanding. There are thoughts we can give to you. If you're just fasting and praying that one day you will wake up, and the marriage will be a totally different experience, that ain't going to happen. All right? What's going to happen is that he's going to begin to supply thoughts. He starts giving you an understanding, all right, of certain things, and as you begin to implement that, this is what the church is not seeing, right? Then the changes will begin, right, to come. And many people will just talk about things that are the exception, not the rule. So we can overcome. If you look at something and tell yourself, I am going to resolve this issue. All right? I'm going to overcome this thing. This obstacle will be surmounted, all right, in my life. And God says, fine, now we can begin. And it's going to be through your thoughts, He's going to supply there, that you are going to surmount that particular thing. You don't have to give up. You don't have to faint. That there is, all right, a way out. There is an insight you will get in your mind there from the Holy Spirit that when you implement it, right, things will change. So God is, what I want to see is how to take a man who is a complete failure and transform that particular person where in appearance people can't even recognize him again. And it comes by us understanding that the Holy Ghost will bring about that transformation through the mind, all right, of that particular person. I mean, Paul said this, if we put up Romans 7 here, all right, in the last verse, he said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And what had happened, he had gone through repeated failure. If anybody went through that, in our day and time, we'll just say, well, there's a generational curse. He said, because I tried to do something, I found another law at work in my members, all right, which means every time I tried to do it, it was what I didn't want to do, all right, I was doing, and the very thing I wanted to do, I couldn't. He said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he went on and told us how it happened. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. In other words, with the mind now, I fulfill the law of God. And then he said, but when I get back into the flesh and I don't go about it this way, then the law of sin and death reasserts itself. But if I go through the mind, all right, and just spend time with me in the next 6 weeks, and you will find out that if you practice it, and I'll show you a video at the end what it takes to practice this, all right, which means that it's going to take continuous push at that particular thing. But if you practice it, if you can get to a point where you can do this 30 minutes a day, right, you appear as a genius, right, in your own generation there. So he says, with the law of the mind. Then he went on and said, there's no condemnation to them who are in Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but the Spirit. And he says, those who are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Those who are after the Spirit do mind. In other words, it is about where your mind is. What's going on in your mind is what determines whether you are in the flesh or the Spirit. Carnality is not a feeling. Carnality is the state of the man's mind. It says to be carnally minded, all right, to be spiritually minded. And when we teach these things and make them clear, so the Christian has a clear-cut pathway to growth and a clear-cut pathway, all right, on how to experience the power of God within their lives, that it becomes clear and apparent to them. That's what we're believing for. And so when it says, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, that word mind there comes from a Greek word which is thoughts and feelings, emotions, affections. In other words, thoughts came into him, Paul there, and those thoughts were crystallized into feeling. So he felt like an overcomer. He felt, and he was, because of the thoughts of God that entered and crystallized in his being, he felt like a very successful person even before he started manifesting. He felt like an overcomer. He had that in his step, you know, as they say, all right, he had that swag there, the way he was moving on, all right, because it had entered into his being. I mean, this lady who started earning $20,000 there, she will wake up, you know, with a velvety feeling. You know, understand that kind of thing? Where you just wake up, you know, and then you now remember it's true, I got a job because you are just happy, all right? You're just something there. And it's telling us that the thoughts of God can go right in, right? Go right in, and you get to a point. A friend was telling me this, that his wife fell ill in America. They rushed her to the hospital, got to the doctor. The doctor said, let me tell you, how do you want to feel? We can make you feel any way you want to feel. We can inject you. If you just want to be excited, we know what to give you. If you just want to feel like you're happy, we know what to give you. If you want to just feel high, no pain, we know what to give you. And one of them said, the reason why people get on these drugs, they get is that there's one that they can give you. They said, the guy said, the doctor said, it's only heaven that can make you feel like this. You are somewhere else. But you can never attain to that height again after the first time. So what people start doing is that they start taking, trying to get there until they get, because that feeling there makes them. But God's thoughts can enter into you and you can feel high. Do you get what I'm saying here? Which means that you feel high. The same feeling they have, it is. He says, he put gladness in my heart more than when their wine and corn was increased. So the entrance of that word can do that. Now, when it gets there, it means that the word has gotten into your system. That's when that law is working. So I want to show how that happens there. All right. Thoughts enter so deeply, it changes the way you feel. So the man is walking around and you're wondering, he has this attitude. And you're saying, shoo, you came out of Keke Napepa, was it? And you have this swagger about yourself. But listen, that is a man, I want to say, that is going somewhere. Somebody said, I won't call the name of the person now, so you don't come in church. But he said, how did you know it was a successful man? He said, one day he came to see me in my house and we're talking. And, you know, the way he greeted me, I said, do you know me? I'm so and so. He said, he looked at him, who are you? All right. But there was just that thing about him, that he felt so good about himself. He felt he was already a star. You know, look, let me tell you, successful people have an attitude. If you don't understand, you call it arrogance. What you are calling humility is low self-esteem. I will show you that. A lot of the teachings in church on humility is low self-esteem. People don't value themselves. Are you from Zania? I've been bowing 25 times. Sometimes it's not that you are. You can actually not be humble. A humble man is open to thoughts, ideas from people. He listens to advice. You can be as stubborn as, I don't know what, and still be bowing to people and saying, sir, 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 but your heart is strong. Say, whatever doesn't originate in me, I can't take. Who are they? Are you from Zania? Psalm 119 and verse 130. So what we are trying to say is this. Give us a man who says, I'm failing. All right? Ask, tell us, we ask him, so what really is in your heart you want to succeed at? He tells us. Now, I want to talk about the process of getting there. Okay? Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple. Now, when God's word enters, it gets light, and you get what is called understanding. Now, understanding is a very powerful thing. I want to say second service. What does understanding mean? It means to understand. All right, but to understand. But when you understand, you know how something works. In other words, you can relate with, you can relate, all right, the information you have now received to some process that you already know. You see, when God created the heavens and the earth, and this is where the mind of, you know, my revelation in my spirit, but you know, we just say things. It says, why is there creation? God put us there. He said the invisible things of God are clearly seen and can be understood by the things that are made. In other words, when you understand anything spiritual, you have a natural parallel for that thing. So, when you understand how the body of Christ functions, Paul said it's just like the human body. Jesus came and said, let me give you the understanding of the kingdom. It's just like when you go and farm and you sow. He says, productivity, says, is just the reason why some people don't get productive is that, you know, you sow some and the ground is hard. He said, that's what is going on. Broad natural. So once there is, so when God says, listen, you are reaching for something massive, what God wants to give you and his word enters into you concerning it, you understand how that thing will happen. The pathway to it is clear. It's just like somebody says, I understand how to, let's say, cook it, dika ekon. If you don't understand, you don't know. But once you understand it, you say, boil water, do it. And I don't know. I'm just saying my own before you go and say it. All right? But put this way. He understands the ingredient. He tastes it and says, oh, no, you didn't put enough of this. There is an understanding. So when it comes to increase, he understands it. He says, what's happening is not going to matter. This is what you need to do. He understands it. God wants, do you know how free we will be? It's not that you are believing God in blindness. You get what I'm saying here? Hoping and looking around that something will change. But he is giving you the understanding there of how that particular thing will happen. Now, it tells us in Proverbs 15:30, it says, the light of the eyes causes the heart to rejoice. Which means that when you have that, your eyes are lit up, you have the understanding, your heart rejoices. You are happy. All right? And then it says a good report. You begin to speak, makes the bone fat. You have a good report. So let me say this. Let's say I buy this equipment. I'm an equipment here and I've been trying by myself to put it on. It has two buttons. All right. Both of them say on one, on two. All right. And I press both of them. What's going on here? It's not coming on. It's not coming on. Then I call somebody and the person comes and says, what happens? He gives me an understanding of what's going on. He says there's an element inside it. And that element has to heated up to a particular temperature, and then the thing begins to function. So what you're going to do, now you know that what I'm describing here, for we coffee drinkers, is how our coffee machine works. There's no mystery to it. If you drink coffee, you know what I'm saying. Right. So, right, 2 points there. So you press one, it says, when you press one, it begins to blink on one. Now, the blinking tells you that it is working. But what it's telling you is that we are still heating up that thing till it gets to that particular temperature. Once it gets to that temperature, it stops blinking and the green light just is on. Then press the next one and it starts working. Now you have an understanding. You say, thank you very much. You're happy. Thank you very much. What I've been struggling. So what God is saying is, what you have been struggling, I'll give you an understanding.
Are you following me there? I will bring thoughts and you will understand. Not that we're just believing, which means that you say, well, I've been struggling in my marriage. It's not that magic that the man who was angry yesterday, I don't understand what's going on. He's just happy today. I'm happy. He will be angry very soon. That happiness. All right. There has to be an understanding behind it. Where God shows you, there are 10 things that make a man angry when you talk like that. When he gives you the understanding, you look at it. You know that by 8 a.m., 8 of them you have said. So there is no way by doing that, one way the scripture can be broken. No way this man will be happy by 10 a.m. So you change that and you just realize that everything. So he has given an understanding. So you wake up and say, well, some people said they wanted to go to the moon. You know, some people say, you know, we're doing faith. Pastor, join us. He said, I said, look, faith is not blind. Faith sees, is just the sight of another kind. It looks not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are not seen. It can see them. It is the evidence. Evidence means something is in existence that backs that part, the fulfillment of that particular thing. Right? So he says we're going to the moon. What the man got was an understanding of how to get there. And the minute he got that understanding, right, then he got there. I'm going to talk about it closely here, that you play as a team or you lose by default. One of the most successful men in business country said this. He said, you bring an idea, we run it through the top 10 people in the company. Any one of them says no, they're not flying with it. He has an understanding. He said, we run through the top 10. Anyone, he's the owner of the company. He said, anybody says no, he says, we're not running with it. You ask him why? Because you are doing your own, and when they say no, you tell them, who is CEO, you or me? Will you shut up? And then he says, it's not working. Then again, he says Psalm 13 and verse 1. If only we could get this scripture. This is what he says. Psalm 13 from 1 to 3. How long will thou forget me? God can't forget you, but yeah, where the problem. How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide thy face? How long will you forget me? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul? Which means all the counsel was inside his own soul. He was the one originating the ideas. He tried everything. He said every time, he says, and I am now sorrowful. Which means, you know, no explanation is what my own ideas. He said, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Say Satan, you know, demons and all of that. The problem is not that the demon is powerful. They say it was some demons that are blocking the business from growing. We know we like to say all these things. All right? Generational curse. It says, exalted. Consider and hear me. He said, this is my prayer now. Lord my God, lighten my eyes. Open my eyes. Give me understanding. He said, lest I sleep, I'll go into oblivion here. Give me understanding. Look, there are many things I'm telling you we have embraced. Look, it's my friend, if I'm even watching now, he's a consultant. It's even the pastor of the church in New York. Let's just put it there. He's a consultant, cardiologist, internal medicine. He did it in New York, a top guy. He said there was something one day he came to pick me in the airport. I said, you've changed. You're slim. What happened? You know, you're really looking. He said, let me tell you what happened. I mean, he's an internal medicine, a consultant. He said something in his family, they all used to take, you know, drugs or something, about being hypertensive and all. And they would take it and take it and take it and take it and take it. He said one day he went on a fast. And he realized that when he took it after, that instead of the thing stabilizing, the blood can drop. So he went to hospital. He said, he now realized that. He now dawned on him that it might be what they were eating that was causing the thing. And because you are born in Nigeria, all of you have been eating it. You just say that it is generation. It's that so he stopped eating those things and he stopped all the drugs. It was just change of diet. In other words, when we say with long life, will he satisfy me? He wants to teach us what will make our lives long. Wisdom says, I will add to the life, to the years of your life if you embrace me. He will show you, he will teach you. All right, he wants to. Now, is that part we circumvent? But we want manifestation on the outside, but we don't want to understand the process. He said Moses knew the ways of God. He says, but the children of Israel knew the acts of God. So there is insight. That's why I like one businessman in Nigeria, all right? I won't call his name, all right? But he said, he builds things. And he said, if you take everything on the outside away from me, just give me my briefcase. And I'll tell you what to put in the briefcase. Take me to Ghana. I will rebuild everything I have in Nigeria and Ghana there. Because he has an understanding. All right? There is an understanding. So there is nothing like no. It's just that insight is not there. Are you following me there? When the environment rejects you, it's simply telling you you don't know enough. There is knowledge that will open up that door. Are you following me there? But what we have done is we've just spiritualized everything. And when we spiritualized it, we took the responsibility of the place. All right. But if it is, listen, this is what we're saying. Every advancement of man came through this. All right. How, you know what people used to say before? Back then, do you know that if AS and AS married and there was a child died, they would say it's some witches that came. You know, that's what they were saying. It's witches until people discover that there's genotype. In Africa, everyone understood that all those witches that you were killing people in the neighborhood, that they were responsible for the death of your child, you just shed blood on them. You understand? People came to understand that if the eyes are bloodshot, they're red, all right, there must be something so they could identify. If you, so it's understanding that came. Do you know how powerful we would have been as Christians if we went through that path? Where the Holy Ghost is showing us the thing underneath everything that appears.
Thank you for listening.